Good morning to everybody. Very, very happy to be here. I'm grateful for the opportunity to be able to be a part of the Tennessee Bible College. And I want to say, first of all, thank you for all of you being here today, all who contribute, all who have supported the Tennessee Bible College all during the years and still continue. Thank you. Thank you to the faculty and staff for giving me the opportunity. I didn't know Brother David until some years ago, but I met Carrie in Conway, true, of course, Brother Joseph Barr. And he always told me something about these guys, but he says, don't tell them. Y'all think you might remember that? Y'all remember Joseph Barr, right? Here's how you remember him. Well, y'all remember that? He always told me that these two men are scholars. He said, but don't ever tell them this. He said, otherwise you'll get a different response. And so I kept it all during the years until I attended as a student here. He says, man, I went to Trinidad School of Preaching, and when I attended TBC, it was a real eye-opener for me. It helped me to see things from a different perspective. So I want to say thank you to the TBC staff, faculty, and all those who are responsible for helping in this great work. My prayers are always with you, every single prayer. And I'm not exaggerating. I mean what I say. That's one thing about me. If I tell you something, that's it. You can take it to the bank. And I pray for you guys, and I pray for all gospel preachers, sound churches, that we continue to keep up the manner of Christ. All right, I got to work, I got a time to move. And so I want to thank you very much for the opportunity, Brother David, and Brother Carey especially, who got me into school. Thank you very much, sirs. As I say, it was just a blessing. It helped us to see things from a different perspective. It opened our eyes as far as the scripture is concerned. All right. My text is the excellency of the power of God. And 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. I want to read two versions, please, as we begin. I'm reading, first of all, from the King James Version. He says, but we have this treasure. And by the way, let me say this. I have a big voice, big mouth. So if I speak a little loudly, I'm not speaking harshly. I got a very tender heart. He was speaking a while ago and I was rubbing tears. So I got a very tender heart. So if I speak loudly, I really didn't need this mic, to be honest with you. So please don't take it the wrong way, okay? My accent is a little different. I look a little different, but I do speak English. All right? It might be a little different twang, but I do speak English. Amen? All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. I don't really go to a lot of modern versions, but I like to compare this modern version. If you look at us, you might well miss the brightness. We carry the precious message around in the unadorned clay pots of our ordinary lives, that to prevent anyone from confusing God's incomparable power with us. I thought that modern version really hit it, the point. Paul, in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, deals with, he pours out his heart. We remember the book of 1 Corinthians. I believe in 1 Corinthians, he dealt with having a tough skin, dealing with some strong, hard issues that he had to deal with. But in 2 Corinthians, now he comes and he has a tender heart. He's dealing out and he's pouring out his heart in chapter number 4 here. And he's telling them that we have this ministry. And this ministry goes back to the third chapter with the contrast of the old and new, and showing how the gospel, the old has got done away, the new covenant is here together with the gospel system. And now he says, we have this ministry, the gospel system. He says, don't faint, don't quit. He says, we bought the right message. I'm just introducing from verses 1 through about 5 here, or 6. He brings the right message. He says, we brought you the right message. And we came with the right motive. We brought it to you. We didn't bring any dishonesty. We brought it with the right motives, with the right intent. And we did this to you. But obviously, some of you didn't accept it because the gospel was hid to you because of the choices that you made. And he says, why? Because in whom the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine forth in them. Of course, Satan is the ruler. Satan tempts us, and Satan is powerful, but we make the choice whether to do it or not. Amen. Right. Nobody makes that choice for us, but we do. But to come to the point of the excellency of the power, maybe of God and not of us, I want to be able to deal with three items this morning as Paul deals with it. And if you remember it, it's very easy. Three S's. Just the three S's will be able to help us. Number one, Paul's source. Look at chapter 4, verse number 7 again, please. He says, but we have this treasure. Of course, the treasure is the gospel system. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, or vessels of clay, or clay jars. Why would God take this priceless message and put it in weak, broken people like you and I? God has his purpose, and he wants to care about this treasure, this precious message to the whole world. And he placed this message, as we will see later on, into our lives. Paul deals with a source, and he says, he goes on here, he says in verse number 7, he says, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So number one, Paul's source. We got to remember always that it is about God. Many times people, there are things going on in this life today. People are trying to build themselves. People are trying to build a name for themselves. And you and I need to remember that this treasure came from heaven. It's heaven bound. The Bible states this in John the 3rd chapter, verse 16. Everybody knows this verse. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God. And here's the chart. One of the best charts that I came across in my whole life in the brotherhood is Brother Jim, the late Jim Massey. Some of you probably didn't even know him. He had this chart in Trinidad. He says, God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. Here's the cross. And Jesus now, before he went back to his Father, he sent the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, verse 26, he says, I'm going to send you a comforter, and this comforter is going to bring you in remembrance of those things that I taught you and told you. Why? They were forgetful people like you and I. And so in John chapter 16, verse number 13, he says, howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. So God so loved the world, he gave Jesus. Jesus sent the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit sent the apostles and prophets, guided the apostles and prophets. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost to be able to write this beautiful, priceless word of God, the gospel system for us today. 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 16 and 17. All scripture is given by, you know it, the inspiration of God. Amen. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction or training in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect or complete, thoroughly or truly furnished unto all or every good work. The Bible is here for us. And so Ephesians, the 3rd chapter, Paul says, whereby, I wrote in a few words, whereby when you what? Read, amen, you may understand my knowledge. The problem is, sometimes we don't want to read. That's the problem. We want to take what people have to say. So the Bible came from God, and it's heaven bound. So therefore, you and I need to acknowledge the source. We have a heaven-bound source with the gospel system. The treasure is in our hands. And so it came from God. It came from God, and it's going to go back to God. Matthew chapter 24, verse number 35, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, the word of God liveth and abideth how long? Forever. Amen. And so we got to understand this. This came from God, and it's going to go back to God one day. And so, as we say today, we need a little common sense to be able to open up the word of God and see its source. This word of God tells us about the greatness and goodness of our God. God spoke the world into being. God made man, woman. God made our system. Do you take time to just look at you and see all the different parts that God made in you and how we function as a human being? It's just amazing, isn't it? Not only that, you just look outside and say, man, look at the beautiful sky. You know, I'm not accustomed to snow. I'm not the driving person in snow like you do. I never saw snow until I came to America. I love snow for one day. I like to go out there, I'll play in it, whatever. But that's it after that. Because it gets cold. And I'm not cold-blooded. I grew up in the tropical, and I'll tell you a little more about that in a while. This gospel tells us about the greatness and goodness of God. And so we need to realize today how powerful this gospel is. I want to tell you a little story. You know, I don't like to talk about myself here, and it's not about me. I want you to understand this. In 1978... there was a big gospel meeting. We call it gospel meeting now. It used to be called Crusade for Christ. You all remember that? Or Crusade. You're on a little sticker. And you would have it going out by doors knocking. Big old tent in the island of Trinidad. And, of course, I was about 15, 16. And I, you know, as we say in Trinidad, you were hanging out. I was hanging out with my cousins, and they says, boy, they got some nice chicks down there. So let's go down by the tent and check them out. My wife, she wasn't in the pit here yet, so I got away. All right? And we went there for this reason. Of course, I followed along. And Jim Massey was preaching, I remember. And after the preaching, there was the preacher of the San Fernando Church of Christ there, Brother Roger Faria and others. And they sat down with me and taught me the gospel. And I became a Christian that said night. And there was no baptistry with warm water that we have. It was a water tank. And the water tank was cold water. So when you go down and you come up, your teeth knocking. And not only that, you feel now, you're cold, but you feel like you're walking on heaven's air because your sins have been washed away. Amen. Why am I telling you all of this story? To tell you that many years after, well, not many, but about 2 years after, surrounded by a lot of good gospel preachers, encouraged me to go to the Trinidad School of Preaching. The late Brother Parker Henderson was the director of the school, and he drilled. He drilled. He take every scripture and make it into evangelism. That's just how he is. Good preacher. Graduated from the school. And in 2001, we decided to migrate to America because things were getting very difficult in Trinidad. Life was getting very difficult. My kids were small, and I wanted to grow them up to have a better life. So my wife and I decided I left a good permanent job, and we came across here, lost everything there. And we started from scrap, nothing. And there I met this tall black dude. First week, I had to look up because he was big. He said, Brother Rom. The first week we were in America, and I say this to tell you something. A lot of Christians say they can't find a church. We came from a foreign land, and met the church in 1 week time. That's an excuse for what we do. But that's free. I met him the first week and started to work along with the church in Conway. My wife and I worked with the church there, my kids, for 8 years. We did a lot of work with Brother Joseph Barr. I counted him as a good friend, as a fellow gospel preacher. We had a bond. And there I met these two great men on the side. I met him first, Brother Carey, and then later on, I met David in a gospel meeting, and he says, "Listen, you must be the Ram. I heard about you." I said, "Man, who is him?" Because I didn't know who, you're meeting somebody for the first time. You kind of, I wonder, what's going on? And then he introduced himself and told me, "True Joseph." Why am I telling you all of this? To say this. Before all of this, I met David. David says, and he told me, "Did you know my dad?" I said, "No, I did not, unfortunately. I've heard great things about this great and godly man." But he was responsible for giving a donation for about $10,000, if my memory is correct, with the help, I'm sure, himself and others, to San Fernando Church of Christ, that's the city church in Trinidad, for the building of the church building and housing the preaching school that I became a product of many years after. So this man has left this earth, and yet his works has followed. And I didn't know of that until I came to America. Brother Malcolm Hill had contributed this, which I am a product of this great work. Why am I saying all of this? God is the source, and God invested in man and woman's life so that I could be a product here before you to speak to you and with you this morning. Right. Is that not great? Amen. That's the power source that I show you this morning in showing that. Years after, Joseph and I worked together, and the congregation was going great. You know, every time everything's going great, something must happen. The devil is going to step in. Man, things were going good. We had about 90 people on a Sunday. And lo and behold, there was a family who was liberal. We call them antis. They didn't believe in kitchen, food, all this good stuff, you know. And split the church. And all the rich folks who had the money left the different places. So here was Joseph and I, two poor fellas. What are we going to do now, partner? So we prayed. We said, "Listen, God is going to help us. You stay here, and we're going to start the next work. So we'll have both works because of that." I want to show you something. When obstacles come our way, now we have two congregations. We planted a church in Loris, South Carolina. Had been there for 15 years. We're a teenager church. Brother David and Brother Carey comes on a yearly basis to help us, to encourage us, and to motivate us. But there are two congregations standing today. Tall, Brother Latour, Tisdale Latour, is the preacher of the Conway Church now. Many of you know him. He was a product from you guys, grew up here. And I am at Loris, South Carolina. My point is this: God invests his power source in men and women's life so that we could be who we are today. That's the first thing. Paul recognized this. He says the excellency may be of God and not of us. Paul's source was God. Always remember in our lives, don't get too big. Don't get too puff up in life. And let me tell you something. Knowledge can do that. I've seen a lot of people push out their chests because they know a little more than others. And that's one of the beautiful things I admire so much about Brother David and Brother Carey, about being humble and how much they know, and yet they're so humble before us. Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you for your humility. Number one. Number two, Paul's secret. What is his secret? Well, the same verse tells us that. Look at the verse 7, the latter part. He says that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Do you see that? So Paul's secret, Paul had a secret. His secret now was to submit to the gospel. To realize that I need to be submissive to the gospel. I need to be submissive to Christ and the gospel. He had already said in verse 5, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus, our Lord, and we as his servants. So number one was Paul's source. Number two, Paul's secret. What is Paul's secret? I need to learn to submit my life to the Lordship of Jesus Christ and his word, the gospel system. I need to submit my life to the Lordship. Many scriptures, Luke 6:46, why call me what? Lord, Lord, I know you know the scripture, and do not the things which I say. Matthew 17:5, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. Listen to Jesus. Acts 4:12, there's not a name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. Only Jesus. And so, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man come to the Father but by me. Listen to Jesus, church. Gentlemen, ladies, brothers and sisters, young children, we all have to listen to Jesus Christ. We have to be able to get to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Lordship means that he's my master. He's my Lord. Whatever he says, I do. And I submit willingly to him in my life. Oh, how we need that, don't we? Amen. Submission is the key. Paul's secret is I need to submit not only to the Lordship of Jesus, but to the leadership of Jesus. Oh yes, my sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. Yes, our Lord was very submissive in his life. You recall in Luke chapter 2, wrong verse 49 follow. He submitted to his parents at the age 12. You remember on the cross, just before the cross, when he was agonizing, Matthew 26, a wrong verse, number 39 following. And when he was agonizing, he prayed, Father, please, if there be any other way, let this pass from me. Because he knew what the cross meant. He knew what it means. He has seen crucifixion. He knew what nails was going to go through his hands. And he knew that his body would be pierced and broken and bruised and battered. He knew about that. He says, Father, please, if it be your will, let there be another way. He said, nevertheless, but thy will be done. Submission. In Philippians, the second chapter, verses 5 following, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a servant, flesh like you and I, and being formed in the form of fashion as a servant, he humbled himself even to the point of death. He says, God highly exalted him, given him a name that is above every name. That the name of who? Jesus. Every knee shall bow where? In heaven. He says, on the earth and under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Jesus submitted, giving up heaven, giving up his glory in heaven. And coming upon the earth, taking flesh like you and I, living a life of 30 to 33 years, suffered and bled on the cross so that he can be who he is today to us. You talk about submission? Submission is God's secret. If only we'd learn this in the church. James put it this way, submit to God. Many people want to resist the devil, but we don't want to submit to God. Submission to God is the key. Submission to the gospel. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth. You got to purify your souls. How you purify your souls? By obeying the truth. He says, where does the truth come from? He says, through the Spirit or by the Spirit. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so, brothers and sisters, friends, we need to understand Paul's, as we deal with his source, and we deal here that showing us his submission, his secret to submit to Christ. We need hearts to submit to the gospel, to see the light. See, the problem in 2 Corinthians 4, Some wasn't seeing the light. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. And I believe we have lost people in the church too. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't look at me kind of. Take your time. In Luke chapter 15, there were two sons. One was lost, the young one. Everybody knows him. But there was an elder fella in the house. He was still lost because he wasn't seeing clearly. He thought he was selfish and he was self-righteous. Sometimes we can be like that in the church. And that's why we got to be very careful. Not how long you're in the church. And there's no seniority in the church. We're all together in the same boat. And we all have to learn together to submit to the lordship, leadership of Jesus Christ. So Paul's source, the gospel came from God. His secret is that, listen, submission is the key to this gospel. You want to get up in life, you got to go down. And that's a hard lesson. Most of us worked secular jobs before, didn't we? How many people you know carried news to the boss? Well, you're looking, that never happened to you? Oh, it only happened to me. It happened every avenue. It even happened to the church. People going to, you know about brother so-and-so? You know? I like to ask them when they come and tell me, what did the brother say? And they kind of take a dose of dumb. And they leave quietly and they never come back by me. If they say that, I mean, I'm okay with that. There will be no more gossiping. What am I saying? Don't try to step on somebody else to get on top. Get down. Submit our lives to the lordship of Jesus Christ. And he will lift us up. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Oh, we need to learn this lesson in the church. Many men are building kingdoms for themselves. We're trying to build names for ourselves in the church. It's not about us. Paul says that. He says we preach not ourselves. We preach Christ Jesus. And ourselves are servants. He says the excellency of the power may be of God, not us. We are just the messengers. And thirdly, Paul's sense or his purpose was to preach Christ and the gospel. Verse 5, he says here, we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Verse 7 again goes back and he says that the excellency may be of God and not of us. Paul's sense of purpose. What was Paul's sense of purpose? To preach Christ and his gospel. He says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And I want to point out to you, Christ is the heart of the gospel. We all know 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. I don't need to go in and read that. He says, by this you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preach unto you, the gospel. And we all say the gospel. The gospel is not just the facts of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. The gospel is a whole New Testament. But many times we go about saying, well, the death, burial, and resurrection. And I understand what you mean, but everybody doesn't understand that. The facts about it, the gospel is a whole New Testament system. And so the facts of the gospel entails the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And those are the facts that must be obeyed in our lives. And you think about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the heart of the gospel. If there's no Jesus, there's no gospel. Why? The gospel is great news. Amen. If there's no Jesus, he's the heart of the gospel. And so we need to understand in our lives. Paul says in verse number 2, but David, I'm coming to a close, don't worry. All right, verse number 2, he says, we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or cunningness, nor handling the word of deceitfully, but by the manifestation of the truth. We brought this to you by truth, by our lifestyle and by our preaching. We brought it to you in truth. And so he exaggerates and he calls it the truth. What does truth do? Truth always brings freedom, isn't it? He shall know the truth shall make you free. John 8:32. Verse number 36 of John chapter 8. If the Son frees us, we are free indeed. And so truth brings freedom. But not only that, he says in verse, the third verse, He says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to those that are lost. The gospel is the greatest news. What does the gospel do? The gospel is the greatest news. It saves people. Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You know these verses. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believe it, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein where? In the gospel brings man to be righteous. Amen. Oh, yes. It saves us. And when this gospel saves us, it places us into Christ in that sanctified position. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. Ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that he should show forth the praises of him who had called us out where? Out of darkness into where? In that marvelous light. Oh, brothers and sisters, the gospel sanctifies. It sets us free. It sets us apart for God's special work. But not only that, the gospel helps us to satisfy our longing, and the peace of God that passeth all understanding shall guard our hearts and minds through Jesus Christ our Lord. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And then he talks about the light of the glorious gospel of Christ shall shine forth on them. The light, this light illuminates people. It regenerates people. It renews you. The light of the gospel. That's what the gospel does to us. No, he said something here. This treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Let's deal a minute with this. This treasure has to be in our hearts first. I think that's the problem we're having. 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 15. Oh, we're good at quoting this, don't we? Be ready always to give an answer of every man that giveth you the reason of the hope that is within you, don't we? But the most important part is the next part, before that. But sanctify the Lord God where? In your hearts. You got to put him here. This treasure has to come here. Let me tell you something. I grew up in a very dysfunctional home. I know every curse word in the book. I could write a book. That's all I knew. When I came into church, I didn't know what Genesis was from Revelation. You might say, man, he's lying. I don't lie. Jim Massey gave me a paperback Bible, and by the time he was preaching, I call it Spinners. By the time he finished 10 verses, I now find one. Because I didn't know what Genesis was from. I never read the Bible in my whole life. But I could have cussed. That's what I learned from my dad. Sad to say. And when I became a Christian, it was hard. The next day, I had a bag of mints. And every time I go to curse, I bite. And this is the true story. And today, the Word of God, I don't even look at movies cursing. You know, some of you look at movies, oh, that was a great movie. Watch out. Amen. Watch right. out. Right. You don't like people cursing you. Right. And if people cursing around me, I will stop them. Yeah. I will tell them. Yeah. The Word of God transforms you. And that's Romans chapter 12. Be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind, church. Sanctify the. We have this treasure, but we got to put it in our hearts. You know, when you drive in your car and it goes down to E, I hope you don't do it that way, and it starts to bark, you know, time to fill gas, is it? That's sometimes how Christians goes, because there's enough fuel in their gas tank to barely move them. But we don't want to be like that. Amen. We want to fill up. Let the word of Christ dwell in you what? Richly. In all wisdom. Oh, Colossians the 3rd chapter verse 16. We got to have it here first of all. You see, we want it here. And we want it here to share it. But if it's not here, it's not going to come out here. Matthew chapter 12 verse 34 following. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Isn't that what Jesus said? You got to fill it up here, and then it's going to come through here. Today, I say that to tell you a long story. I don't know those curse words. I don't know any. Why? I've decided to fill it with this. Amen. And you fill this. You say, hey, I got a real problem in the church. The problem is if you fill the word of your mind and heart with this, as a man thinking his heart, so is he. Proverbs 23:7. You fill this, the filth is going to filter out in our lives. What a beautiful thing. You see, that's why the gospel came from God. It came to help us. And this treasure is in our hearts. We got to have it here. You know, long ago, I knew preachers, and we used to call them walking Bibles. You all remember that? There are many preachers I never seen open this Bible. I have to open mine, so I got to tell you that. I heard, I don't know how true, in America, long ago, in the court system. Is that true, fellas? You all tell me. When there wasn't a Bible in the court, they would call, look for somebody from the Church of Christ. I heard that. See, I wasn't here. That's hearsay, so that's why I want to confirm. And they would call upon them because we were known the people of the book, didn't we? And that's all we get to need to get back there. Amen. The people of the book. We are the people of the book. And we need to stand tall. We have the treasure. Now, treasure to do what? In Acts the 3rd chapter, I'm coming to a close now, Brother David. In Acts the 3rd chapter, there was a lame man at the gate, didn't he? We all know the story. And Peter looked at him and says, listen, he was begging alms. Peter says, silver and gold have I none. What I have, I'm going to give you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk. There was a miracle. The man got up, he leaped, he walked, he went to the temple walking and leaping and praising God. I want to tell you, if we have it here, we're going to do three things. Number one, we're going to help people rise above their present condition. This man was in a condition of begging for money. Peter offered him something more. Amen. That's what we got to do. We got the gospel. And if you got it here, you got this treasure here, then in our hands and mouth, we would be able to give them, offer them something more. Jesus came to give life and gave it what? More abundantly. John 10 and verse 10. So first of all, when we have the gospel in our hearts, and we have it in our hands and mouth, and by our lives, of course, then we could offer somebody something better. Second, we can offer them true happiness. Could you imagine how this man felt in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God? He was so excited. Could you imagine that he wasn't even walking before? And now he's walking. Could you imagine the excitement that takes place in his life? How excited were you when you became a Christian? Were you not on the top of the world? What happened now? Are you still excited? Are you still on fire for the Lord? Oh, brothers and sisters, we need to get back that fire and excitement in the church. Right. To rise above present condition. Offer them something more. The gospel, that treasure that you have in your life. And I have. And to be able to give them true happiness. The happiness of knowing the gospel. If any man is in Christ, he's a new creature. All things are passed away. All things become new. And then thirdly, to give them hope. This man had no hope. Every day he had to go to the gate to beg for a little money to live, probably. But Peter and John gave him hope in his life. They gave him hope to the hopeless. In Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Yes, brethren, we got to give hope to the hopeless. The gospel is a fact. Tell it simply. It's a joyful fact. Tell it cheerfully. It's an entrusted fact. Tell it faithfully. It is a fact of infinite love. Tell it feelingly. It is a fact hard for some to understand. Tell it illustratively. It is a fact about a person. Preach wonderful Jesus. And it is a fact about the plan. Proclaim it. Paul's source, Paul's secret, and Paul's sense of purpose. We have this treasure. And the treasure is not of us. It's of the excellency of knowledge of God. Paul knew his source. He understood the secret. And I believe we need to be able to remember the source. We need to remember the secret to this. And then we need to remember Paul's sense and purpose in forwarding the gospel to the lost world by our friends, family. We got the greatest treasure in the world, in whom are hidden all treasures of the wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2 and 3. May God bless you. You hear you're not a Christian, become a Christian. You hear you're a Christian and you strain back, fix things today. God gave you the wonderful opportunity to change your life. God bless you. Thank you for the wonderful opportunity.